Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Do we really even classify these as good, bad, or crazy? I think they're bad, bad, and bad if we have to be official. But effectively, today, we're going to evaluate each of the three people on stage in the first general election presidential debate. That would be Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and Lester Holt of NBC, who, of course, was the moderator. So, Jim, starting with Donald Trump, when you look at the totality of the debate, he was probably strongest, if we can use that term, in the first half of the debate. He got weaker as it went on. There were a number of things that just make you scratch your heads. He likes to say things are a disaster, and thousands and thousands of examples that he could list if he wanted to. He basically was just as weak on policy details as he was in the primary debates. He hasn't studied that an awful lot. When it came to the economy, he still is in a very interesting mode for a Republican presidential nominee. Here's one of his ideas for making sure jobs don't leave the country.
And what you do is you say, fine, you want to go to Mexico or some other country, good luck. We wish you a lot of luck. But if you think you're going to make your air conditioners or your cars or your cookies or whatever you make and bring them into our country without a tax, you're wrong.
So that tax is obviously going to be paid by the consumer. So that's not a very conservative position. You got a little wobbly on guns. Trade, of course, has been an issue of his for a long time. Then he got the birther question, which at first he seemed to be doing okay on by pointing out that Hillary's campaign back in 08 was pushing this as well. But when Lester Holt pressed the question, he got this from Trump.
I think I did a great job and a great service, not only for the country, but even for the president in getting him to produce his birth certificate.
Secretary Clinton.
So, Jim, as the night went on, it got worse for Donald Trump. And as Dennis Green once said, he is who we thought he was.
I don't think it was a very good night for Donald Trump. I'm sure a lot of his fans say, no, it was great, et cetera. Look, I don't know how much Donald Trump prepared, but he certainly did not seem like he was overflowing with supporting arguments and evidence and even in places where he I think had a strong argument. And I think most people would agree he opened up fine, that he, you know, probably had his strongest moments in the beginning. They turned to the issue of policing. And he made, we need law and order. Okay, good. I think a lot of people generally agree with that point, but you have to flesh it out, right? You have to basically say, here's why we need more respect for police officers in this country. Here's how Hillary's allies and Black Lives Matter have demonized the police. They have, poisoned the atmosphere. They have portrayed police as a out-of-control racist force that cannot be trusted at all. And I think all of that would have helped. I think that would have done him a great deal of good. And for whatever reason, Trump, just there was stretch after stretch where he just seemed to run out of supporting pieces of evidence and things to say. He got flustered, not as they flustered, but he had his typically, very aggressive, assertive, bombastic personality, particularly as it wore on, frequently interrupting Hillary. And I think it threw off a lot of his primary opponents, but I don't think it really threw Hillary off that much. I don't think he hurt himself in a lot, but I don't think he did himself a ton of good. And it just, I think more than anything, people feel like there was a lot of missed opportunities tonight.
Yeah.
Or last night. And it really could have, there were a lot of areas where he could have done a lot of damage to her. And he didn't. And a lot of issues that he thought probably were his strongest arguments didn't come up. And I'm sure, we'll talk a little bit about this in the future. He didn't, Lester Holt didn't bring him up, but if you're a Republican, you can't count on the moderator bringing up the points that are weakest to the Democratic nominee.
No, absolutely not. And you're right. Missed opportunities all over the place. I don't think Syria was ever mentioned. I don't think Libya was ever mentioned. Benghazi certainly was never mentioned. And he even had a Benghazi family, I believe, in the audience. So how do you not even remember to bring that up? A lot of different areas never mentioned Obamacare, which obviously Hillary wasn't involved in the details of that particular policy. But obviously she goes back to similar concepts from back in the 90s. So there's a lot he could have tied to her from the Obama record in addition to the things he did. And he just missed those opportunities badly.
It'll be interesting to see if we don't know how Kellyanne Conway was responding after the debate last night. I'd be surprised if she went out and said, great job, boss. You really hit it out of the park. I think there was a strong argument to be made that as we said, he missed a lot of very winnable opportunities, very areas where he could have done her more damage. And he needed to. He's been gaining in the polls, but he probably could have done himself a lot of good. People are thinking the audience for the debate would have been, you know, some are estimating it'll be as high as 100 million people. You know, this was the best opportunity he had. And it's worth noting that, like, this is an area he cannot outsource it. This is all on him. He could, you know, this is not the job of Kellyanne Fitzpatrick. This is not the job of Mike Pence. This is not the job of the RNC. He had to go out there and make the case for himself. And I think most people would just say that, look, you know, he needed to do better than he did last night. We'll see if it's fatal for his chances. We'll see if people tune into the next one. But he really needed to bring a better game than he had last night.
Fortunately for Trump, there was another deplorable candidate, and I used that term intentionally on stage last night. Hillary Clinton, not much better. Jim, she has this supposedly fantastic record that she's running on, yet she references zero of it when it comes up to these policies. And Trump was wise to say, you know, you've been at this for 30 years. Why are you only coming up with this now? And there's still bad ideas. Everything's government down. We're going to invest in this. We're going to raise taxes on businesses and the wealthiest. And Trump didn't pick up on that from the business perspective very well. Then the two clips we're going to play here are from the policing segment, which you referenced. First of all, she talked about the one district court judge who found stop and frisk unconstitutional, although her grasp of the law here is a little bit odd.
Stop and frisk was found to be unconstitutional. And in part because it was ineffective. It did not do what it needed to do.
And then she later told us that the good news is that not all the cops are racist. The bad news is we're all racist.
Secretary Clinton, last week you said we've got to do everything possible to improve policing, to go right at implicit bias. Do you believe that police are implicitly biased against black people?
Lester, I think implicit bias is a problem for everyone, not just police. I think, unfortunately, too many of us in our great country jump to conclusions about each other. And therefore, I think we need all of us to be asking hard questions about, you know, why am I feeling this way?
Because that's the job of the president, to figure out why we're all feeling this way. Jim, maybe the jump to conclusions game from Office Space will get a rebirth after that comment. But what do you make of Hillary's performance?
She had a better night than he did. And you're hearing a lot of people say, oh, you know, she did a home run. She was fantastic. I'm not so convinced that she had a great night. I think she had a good night. I think that bit of audio you played there, I think, was one of her weaker moments. Look, I don't need somebody from Chappaqua who has been living in the lap of luxury for the past, you know, 30 years, who will never worry about crime, who will never worry about financial security, somebody who lives a life of the richest 1%. Running around telling me, you know, how flawed I am and how flawed all of us are and all that stuff. Now, Trump tried to hit back on the super predators remark from the 1990s. But I think just that a more Trump-friendly conservative blogger said to me a little while back, what the Republican Party used to stand for was the party that was not going to ask too much of you. The party that believed, no, you're okay as you are. It's not the job of government to fix you. It's not the job of government to improve you. You're doing your job. You're taking care of your kids. You're working hard. You're paying your taxes. You're doing enough. We're not going to ask more of you. When the Democrats embrace their role of the nanny state and believe that it's their job to change your attitudes, to save you from your own prejudices that only they can see and they have the ability to fix, I think that's when they really lose ground and people really get aggravated with them. So I just think overall Hillary was the strongest thing she did last night was basically memorize an encyclopedia of opposition research against Trump and work it into her answers pretty regularly. And it was kind of fascinating to see how completely unprepared Donald Trump seemed for all of that.
Yes, exactly. Including the bit at the end about the beauty pageant contestant that seemed to catch him flat-footed as well. Let's move on to Lester Holt and the third martini. Lester Holt was largely invisible for most of the night, which wasn't a bad thing, at least from my perspective. Although when you look at the follow-up questions after the general themes were introduced, I think, Jim, that implicit bias question was about the toughest one that Hillary Clinton got, whereas Donald Trump got a whole batch of them. Take a listen.
You had supported the war in Iraq before the invasion. What makes your
judgment? I did not support the war in Iraq.
My question is, since you supported it, why is your judgment?
I was against the war. Wait a minute. I was against the war in Iraq, just so you put it out.
The record shows otherwise.
The record does not show.
Mr. Trump, we're talking about the burden that Americans have to pay, yet you have not released your tax returns. And the reason nominees have released their returns for decades is so that voters will know if their potential president owes money to, who he owes it to, and any business conflicts. Don't Americans have a right to know if there are any conflicts of interest? Mr. Trump, for 5 years, you perpetuated a false claim that the nation's first black president was not a natural-born citizen. The birth certificate was produced in 2011. You continued to tell the story and question the president's legitimacy in 2012, 13, 14, 15.
Yeah.
Mr. Trump, this year, Secretary Clinton became the first woman nominated for president by a major party. Earlier this month, you said she doesn't have, quote, a presidential look.
So, Jim, all of those questions are legit, and I'm not sure that Trump handled any of them well. The difference is that Hillary Clinton's got plenty of issues that she could be challenged on in a very awkward way, and Lester Holt just never went there.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head suggesting that, look, there's nothing wrong with Lester Holt saying, you know what, I'm going to let him argue. I'm going to let them debate. No one's coming there to see what Lester Holt thinks of these things. It's up to them to make their own points. I'm going to let that. And also, he also didn't always strictly enforce the 2-minute limit. And that always struck me as the dumbest thing I've ever seen debate moderators say. You can tell they're wrapping up their answer. You can tell they're going, 2 minutes, ding. And then you got to stop them. You cut them off before they're the end of the sentence. So there's only two candidates up on stage. There's 90 minutes. Let them talk. That was the best thing Lester Holt did. I think the Trump campaign has a legitimate gripe when they say, hey, there was really tough questions. They went over the tax returns. They went over the birther stuff. They went over whether he stiffed contractors. I mean, there were a lot. You know, Hillary Clinton came there with that encyclopedia of opposition research, and a lot of Lester Holt's questions set that up. And almost none of the questions set up anything like the Clinton Foundation or Benghazi or the state of the Middle East. There was a little bit of discussion of ISIS, but not really a sustained focus on that. Some of that's on Lester Holt, but a lot of that's on Trump, right? If you're not getting the conversation topics you want, you got to steer it in that direction. You got to, bring it up. You got to force it into the conversation. And this used to be Trump's strength. I mean, I remember hearing, all during the primaries about what a great debater he was, and he could just bulldoze his way in there. And unfortunately, what really matters to Donald Trump the most is himself, his reputation, and never letting a point go and never admitting that he's wrong. So when she brings up the beauty pageant contest at the end, where it really makes Trump sound like a jerk. Now, apparently beauty pageant contests are obligated to keep a certain appearance, but he really comes across as just a crass jerk. And you can tell Hillary Clinton has focus grouped this, and this is aimed straight at every suburban mom out there who's anxious about her weight. Anybody who's ever been unfairly judged on their appearance hears that and feels bad about that and gets angry at Donald Trump. Suddenly he's the stand-in for every guy who's ever made a crude comment or that jerky boss or anything like that. And what does Donald Trump do? Not only does he argue it and litigate it, and he says Rosie O'Donnell had it coming and all that stuff, this morning on the morning shows, he's still arguing about it. He steps into every single bear trap she lays out for him, because he just can't let it go, and he just can't move on to his topics. And I think that's what makes it into a thoroughly disappointing night for anybody who's was hoping for a Hillary Clinton defeat. And I think the only person who can be blamed for this is Donald Trump. And for those of us who are skeptical of him, this is why we were skeptical of him. He has the impulse control of a toddler. We'll see if this is a fatal error for him or whether he can bounce back from this in future debates.
Jim, you think any of those other 16 Republican hopefuls are just banging their heads against the desk thinking what they would have done in that moment, whether it's Rubio or Fiorina or Cruz or anybody who talked about how they could take it to Hillary Clinton in the
God. Can you imagine Fiorina on that stage? Greg? It would have been like a hibachi restaurant. They just chop it up into small pieces, cornered apart. The only other thing I'm going to observe here is that, this will probably be a corner post forthcoming later today. So we all remember the debate in New Hampshire earlier this year where Marco Rubio had a really bad night.
Yeah.
And none worse than that moment where he kept saying, let's dispense with this once and for all, this idea that Barack Obama knows. And he said it like 4 times in a 2-minute span. And the joke was that he was sounded like a malfunctioning robot or something like that, or that he just kind of could only go to these, prearranged talking points. After that primary, which Rubio did very badly, and everybody kind of figured, okay, it was the debate hurt him a great deal. Marco Rubio went out and he said, all of you, he addressed his supporters on election night. And he says, it's not looking the way we wanted. It's not because of anything you guys did. It's not your fault. It's my fault. This is on me, and it's never going to happen again. Now, when you screw up, I think that's the right way to do it. And I think I think what he said was true. It was not the Rubio campaign wasn't, you know, working hard enough in New Hampshire. He had a really bad debate night when he could afford at least. This morning, Greg, Donald Trump was saying that his microphone wasn't working correctly. And it was crackling. And then he wondered if it was sabotage. He didn't want to get into conspiracy theories, but he wondered if it was sabotage. So it's the microphone's fault. It's Lester Holt's fault. It's everybody's fault except his. And I think that's – if you refuse to recognize what you did wrong, you're very unlikely to fix the mistakes you make.
Jim, only two more of these, plus the showdown in Farmville comes before that next
week. Okay, hold on. Oh, you know, grab your no-dose. Pence Kane, the battle of the century. The 18th century.
Jim, on that note, we'll call time for today. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.